Grace and peace to you in God, who is mystery, who is incarnation, who is spirit. Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday, the day that we focus on one of the most challenging doctrines of the Christian faith. God is one, yet God is known as three persons. One being with three expressions. How do we make sense of such a doctrine? Ancient theologians were concerned with defining and describing the Trinity and protecting it from heresies left and right. Very specifically, so the Nicene Creed says, "We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son." They were very concerned to say that the Son and the Spirit were not created by the Father and Creator, but somehow of one substance and being with the Father, and it starts to get confusing. But long before these formal statements of doctrine tried to define the Trinity, two 4th century theologians wrote about the Trinity much more poetically. Saint Augustine of Hippo is credited with describing the Trinity as lover, beloved, and love. The Father is the lover, the Son the beloved, and the Spirit is the love that is exchanged between the lover and beloved. This beautiful image reminds me of the invitation Jesus gives to abide in his love. And St. Gregory of Nyssa contributed the imagery of the rainbow, light from light, in which the distinction between the colors is non-discernible, each color blending gently into the next, just as the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit blend into one into the other in the eternal and unconditional love of God. Again, what another beautiful image to add to our image of rainbow. We can twist our tongues and minds in knots trying to describe and define how God is three in one and one in three. And it is important that we understand and hold to that even though some of our monotheistic neighbors aren't too sure about it, our belief in the Trinity does mean that we worship one God. We are clear about that. But it is also good to remember that this doctrine is a mystery, that God is a mystery, that the Trinity is just one way we try to put into words the indescribable and understand the unknowable. Nowhere in the Bible is there a description of the Trinity. There are simply stories and promises about God, described as Father and Lord and Creator, and a few times as Mother, about God's Son, Jesus, the Messiah, and God's Spirit, and how each works in love for our abundant life. We read the story about Jesus and Nicodemus today because it is one of the few places in the Bible where all three persons of the Trinity appear together. But Jesus doesn't lay out how we are supposed to understand the relationship between himself and the God he calls Father and the Spirit in whom we are born again. He simply refers to the love and care and work of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit for the salvation of the world God loves. So you all know that I like pictures. And so on this Trinity Sunday, I want to look together at three images which explore different ways that we might understand the Trinity. So the first is this ancient icon depicting the Trinity, which was written by Andrei Rublev in the 15th century. Now, you can find reams of work written about this Trinity, and not all of it like agrees with each other. It's a picture, right? And so people have interpreted a lot of different ways. But I'm going to share some of the classic ways that people have looked at this. It's a picture of the Trinity depicted as the three angels who visited Abraham. They are seated around this table, and their faces are just the same, which signifies their oneness, even as they are three. And each wears a cloak with blue, which signifies divinity. The figure on the left is God the Father. I'm hoping, yeah, it came out right on the slide. The figure on the left is God the Father. The head is raised as he seems to gaze at the other two across the table. The figure in the middle is the Son. And both the Father and Son hold their hand in a gesture of blessing, a classic, you know, iconic gesture of blessing. The figure on the right, the Spirit, is dressed in blue for divinity and green for growth and new life. The Son and Spirit both gaze across at the Father, joining them in a circle of love. Now, the figures are seated at three sides of the table. This is my favorite thing about this. And there's this implicit invitation for the viewer to take that fourth place, to be a part of this circle. There's almost this kind of circular motion around this table of which you become a part. Father Henry Nouwen wrote about this icon in his book, Behold the Beauty of the Lord Praying with Icons, which is a great introduction to icons if you're curious about how these work and all the symbology and prayer that goes with them. As we place ourselves in front of the icon in prayer, we come to experience a gentle invitation to participate in the intimate conversation that is taking place among the three divine angels and join them around the table. The movement from the Father toward the Son and the movement of the Son and the Spirit toward the Father become a movement in which the one who prays is lifted up and held secure. We come to see with our inner eyes that all engagements in this world can bear fruit only when they take place within this divine circle, the house of perfect love. Then there's this second image, which is a much more recent, I believe 20th century, early 21st century. This one was written by Father John Giuliani at the invitation of Father John Hatcher, who lived and worked among the Lakota people. And Father Giuliani has written many beautiful icons with native images, very, very beautiful. And he writes, I try to celebrate a union of a common spiritual understanding to show how a single mystery can be approached through diverse cultures. So in this image, we have the great father, the Wakantanka, which appears with the full headdress of the eagle feathers in a halo of light. His open hands deliver the sun, a victorious Sioux warrior whose raised arms and open hands reflect a gesture of self-giving. The son wears a richly decorated buckskin war shirt, heavily fringed, beaded, and painted, all of which are artwork done in prayer among the Lakota people, and painted with the four-color circle of the universe in its breastplate. So I gave a little bit of that that breastplate, because I think that's beautiful, that it signifies the whole universe. And the eagle represents the Holy Spirit and completes the spiral of Trinitarian love and unity. And finally, this last image is not exactly an image of the Trinity, but an image and description that evoke the mystery of God. And although, given the words of Gregory of Nyssa from earlier, we can think about the Trinity with those rainbows as well. It's a digital painting called Sacrament by Reverend Anna Strickland. She writes, as a Baptist, I was taught from a young age that baptism and communion are purely symbolic. They are considered ordinances in our tradition, not sacraments. We believe that God doesn't need us to say particular words, take particular actions, or use particular materials to impart grace, which Lutherans believe as well, but we think the sacraments do it in a special way. But that's my talking back to Anna. But even with the beauty that I find in such a radical statement, I do think that we sometimes miss the mystery of it all. There is holy mystery in God's grace. There is holy mystery in bread and water and wine. There is holy mystery in a triune God who became flesh. There is holy mystery in the Spirit blowing through the early church, igniting a movement among oppressed and occupied peoples that would spread across the globe. There is holy mystery in the way light bends and refracts and creates tiny rainbows across my living room wall when the sun shines through the front door. There is holy mystery in all of it. Mystery we are too quick sometimes to dismiss. We don't want mystery. We want certainty. We want answers wrapped in a nice bow and described at length in the words of the creed. But instead, we get the enigmatic spirit in whatever form she shows up. We get bread and wine and water and flame. We get harmonies and incense and stained glass and the cross. We get coffee and serenity prayers and hugs and pride parades. And though God doesn't need to, God somehow uses them all to impart grace. Grace upon grace upon grace. Any words that we say, any metaphors and images we use to describe God can never capture the fullness of God, who is mystery and incarnation and spirit, who is lover and beloved and love itself, who encompasses all the colors of the rainbow. May we always be open to the mystery of God, the grace of God, and the invitation to abide in the love of God, the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of our lives and all things. Thanks be to God. Amen.